You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 42 of Teach Better Talk. I am Ray Hewart, and as always, I have the pretty darn cool king of the world, Jeff Gargis.
I literally sit here and I'm like, my shoulders kind of come up and I kind of tense a little bit. I'm like, what's she going to say tonight?
You know, that one was shared on social media. And anybody listening, if you have a way that you want me to describe Mr. Jeff Gargis, you need to tweet at me, send me an Instagram message, something on Facebook, send me something. You can even email me because I really need some language to call Jeff Gargis. We usually like to keep it nice and PG, so think about that. All right. Well, anyway, aside from the Jeff Gargis fun, we have a whole lot in today's episode. But before we get to any of that, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Just fantastic. In fact, if I was any better, I'd probably have to be you, Ray. and I love how you introduce me every time that we do this, so I appreciate you. But I love doing this. I'm super excited. Another episode. This is actually number two recording for us tonight, so it's just like a fun night when we get to do a bunch of these and talk to multiple awesome educators. So super excited to have Dan Tricarico on. And Dan is a high school English teacher with 25 years, more than 25 years experience. Like, there's a lot of experience here that we are going to dig into. I'm excited about that. But even on the side of that, he's also an author, and you've probably heard of his book, The Zen Teacher. So we're going to dig into the book and what Zen is and how you can become a Zen teacher and what that means. So super excited to get in that. Dan will tell you that his first love is writing poetry. And he's published many poems, both in print and online. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But first off, Dan, really appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us, having some fun with us, man. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great, Jeff. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. This is a big thrill for me.
Well, I know that Jeff gave you a pretty great introduction, but we have a lot that we're talking about today. So really, I want to ask you about the easiest question maybe of the evening, because when somebody comes up to you, maybe in the middle of a grocery store or when you're out at conferences, I have to know, how do you introduce yourself with all the things you've done? It can't be easy.
Well, what I'm really focused on right now is I just tell people I help teachers reduce stress and improve their self-care so they can avoid burnout. It's really that simple, because that's been a new calling for me. And I've realized that I just absolutely love helping teachers. And I was heading toward burnout and just kind of, you know, started writing about it in my blog, The Zen Teacher, and then came up with the book. And I was fortunate enough to have that published. But the amazing thing was when I went out and started talking about it, and teachers, you know, responded, that was amazing. So it's absolutely a new calling. I just help teachers reduce stress and improve their self-care so they can make it through.
I love it. What an important job that is. And so awesome that you are sharing the things that you've found to help you and trying to help other teachers. Like, that's just great. I mean, it's a stressful job. It's such an important job. So really appreciate the fact that that's something that you're putting your energy in to help others. That's really, really cool, man. Really appreciate that a lot. I want to talk a little bit about these 25 plus years experience in education, and what you've been doing. And then your experience, I mean, you add to that plus, you know, writing a book and the poetry and working with teachers and stuff, a lot of experiences, a lot of challenges that you probably ran into. So can you tell us about a time that you've met a challenge, maybe you've had a failure, and sort of what happened, how you overcame it, and what you learned from that?
Sure. Well, you know, I just shared this story for the very first time on a guest blog post that I did for my publisher's blog. And I'll share it again here. It was probably about 10 years ago. And I remember sitting in my classroom at my desk, and the vice principal was sitting next to me. We were talking about a student, and my head was just in my hands, and I was just stressed out. And she said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I'm just so stressed out. And, you know, we were just in the middle of the standardized testing block, and the class sizes were enormous. We're rocking like 40 every period. And I was just so overwhelmed. And she kind of leaned in, and she was a lovely lady, and she meant well, but she leaned in and she said, well, you know, we do have an EAP program. And that stands for Employee Assistance Program. And that was part of the mental health branch of our health insurance. And And it kind of like I was, you know, again, she was a lovely lady, but I was just infuriated because I was like, you're telling me that I need therapy because the system is broken. So that was one time I really felt like at the lowest point that I really felt like I had kind of failed as a teacher because I couldn't pull it together. I couldn't make it. I was burning out. In our department, we lost three teachers within the space of a few years. And I thought, well, I'm next. And at the time, we were specifically talking about a student who was a behavior problem, and I had gone through kind of the chain, you know, the due process, and she was there to tell me they really didn't have any place else to put him, and his presence in my room was just not sustainable for a successful experience, and so I didn't know what to do, and so that you know, and my the joke that I always tell is that I'm have nothing against therapy. I love therapy. I call it the emotional gym because it's where I work things out. And I have had more therapists than girlfriends. I'm sure there's no connection. But so it's not that I'm against therapy, but it was just like the wrong thing was happening, you know? And it was like, something's broken here and it's not me. And so I decided, you know, over time when I started writing the Zen teacher stuff that I needed to tell, that teachers need to know it's not them. That you know that they're okay, and so you know that was my low point. That was when I felt like I failed.
Mm, I love that. What a great lesson that you took out of there. It's not them. Mm-hmm. That you're okay. I love it. So now let's flip it. Let's flip it and talk about a time you felt successful. Tell us what happened. Why was it a success for you? And then what did you take away from that experience?
Well, I really see it kind of as bookends because you know again that kind of experience led me to. Start thinking, well, how am I going to make it through? You know, how I had about 10 years to get to retirement. And I thought, as far as I know, I don't have any other marketable skills. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to make it through. Plus, I love teaching. I don't want to do anything else, right? So I thought, I've got to find a way. And so when I wrote the book and the book came out, I was following this literacy guru who I really look up to, and I don't think I've ever heard her name said out loud, so forgive me. Miss Rip, if I say this wrong, but it's Pernille Rip, I think is how you say her name. And she's amazing. And I really look up to her. And she, on her blog, she said, I'm going to be the keynote speaker at this conference. You should, you know, everybody should send proposals to this conference. And it was in New Jersey. And I live in San Diego, California. And I'm like, oh, well, if that's what I'm supposed to do, that's what I'm going to do. And I sent away the proposal and they accepted it. And I'm like, oh, great. Now what do I do? You know, I don't have, you know, $1,000 to, you know, buy a plane ticket and go across 3,000 miles to, you know, to do this thing. But I thought, well, you know what? This is kind of the universe saying, you know, giving me a green light and saying, you better do this thing. And so I'm not a traveler. I live in San Diego, California. I kind of feel like, why would I go anywhere else? Right. But, you know, I got on the plane and I flew. I didn't know what I was doing. I flew across the country. I walked into this very nice education conference in this little high school. And I started my very first Zen teacher workshop to a room of about 25 teachers. And what was amazing was that they were looking at me like, I can't believe he's talking about this. Nobody is talking about this. And then I knew it was bigger than me, Jeff. I knew that I had tapped into something that I could help with. And that was a big success to me.
That's awesome. God, that's a really powerful story.
Yeah, that's
thank
awesome.
You. Yeah, it was powerful. I mean, like, I have no ego about this. I am a conduit. I was amazed. I walked out just looked with such a rush because I could see the need. And I thought, well, I went through the imposter syndrome of, well, who am I? What can I do, right? But like I said earlier, I just feel like sometimes they just need a little voice in their ear saying, you're enough, you're okay, and you're going to make it through.
Yeah, you know, Dan, it's interesting. I've been going through a lot of this personal growth the past 6 months of in a similar situation where you were, where you're really trying to kind of figure out where your space is and why you're frustrated and
right.
and how to make the biggest impact while keeping yourself balanced, right? That's really important. Yes. So I resonate so much with your stories because it's just a reality for teachers that they need to ensure that they are finding balance and feeling appreciated and making the right steps in the right direction. So very, very cool. Outside of that that work you've been doing, I'm sure you've seen incredible things in education. So I'd love to ask you, what is getting you excited about education these days?
You know, what's funny to hear you say that is, to me, you know, after 20, I think I've been at my school for 26 years. And the exciting thing to me is it's always the little things. And that really, when a student has been struggling and the light goes on, that's always my favorite thing. There's no better moment when you see that they finally get it. And you're making me think of one particular story where it was at the very, very beginning of my career. In fact, I think I was a substitute teacher at the school I work at now. And we were doing this English lesson, and it was similes and metaphors. And this girl was like, I just don't get it. I don't understand. It's not making sense to me. And I worked with her and I thought, oh, I'm a failure. I can't do this. What, you know, I should, you know, go, you know, to 7-Eleven and sell Slurpees, or I don't know. I just was like, this is not happening. And the bell rang and I felt defeated, and she ran out. And I guess like she was, you know, she saw a friend of hers or whatever. And the friend had taken something from her, and I heard her scream outside the door after class. I heard her scream, give that back to me or I'm going to bust your head like a melon. And I ran out the door, and I said, Tammy, that's it. You just did it. That's how, that's a simile, you know? And then the light went on, and she was like, oh, and it was totally like class was over. Right. And so any chance that you get to see that light go on is just magic to me.
That is an awesome story.
Well, yeah, I get excited awesome. About that every time.
That's definitely my top five favorite, I think. That's great.
And, you
I
know, here's the amazing thing about life and Facebook and technology is I'm still friends with her. And that was 30 years ago. Mm. And she's an amazing writer. How's that for irony? Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, no kidding. Wow, that's really cool.
So when it comes to one piece of advice that you would give a teacher, whether it be a teacher brand new to the field or one that's, you know, a few years in, how do we provide advice for those teachers?
Well, I when you ask a question like that, I always think of our yearbook advisor, because she sent out a couple years ago a message to the teachers and said, we want to put a spread in the yearbook and kind of, you know, if you would fill out this open-ended statement. And it said, if there's one thing I wish my students would learn this year, it would be, and then we're supposed to fill it in. And I wrote, if there's one thing I wish my students would learn this year, it would be that they're enough as they are. And I think that's the same message I would give to teachers. It's the same message I would give to beginning teachers who are just starting out, that you're enough as you are. You're working hard enough. You're doing enough. Your instincts are right. You're here because you want to make a difference. So when you get judged or criticized, or you know, the test scores aren't what you want, or whatever it is, whatever negativity comes your way, and if you're a teacher, it will, you know, just go back to that and understand that you're enough as you are, and you're doing everything right, and you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing.
Hey everyone, while we take this quick break, I want to encourage you to log into Facebook and go join our private Teach Better team group. It is full of 1,000 educators who are sharing ideas from the classroom, but really also brainstorming ways to start implementing these new initiatives that we're all working on. So go head over to Facebook and make sure you're a part of this incredible team.
All right, so Dan, that's an awesome story. So I want to talk, if you can, I want to talk just a few minutes about The Zen Teacher, your book. And it's The Zen Teacher, Creating Focus, Simplicity, and Tranquility in the Classroom and Sanctuary, Self-Care Secrets for Stressed Out Teachers. So I just love the full title, because it kind of gives you an idea of looking into the book. But can you, from the author's standpoint, can you give us an example? If I'm a teacher and I'm thinking about ordering this book, I'm thinking about buying this book, I'm getting ready to read it, what can I expect? What is it that you're hoping that teachers get out of the book?
Well, a couple things. I think one way I've been putting it is, if The Zen Teacher reminds you that you need to take care of yourself, Sanctuary shows you how. So Sanctuary is kind of part workbook, part blueprint, part strategies and tools that you can use to take care of yourself. But The Zen Teacher is just that little voice in your ear that says, hey, you know, if you keep going at this pace, you're not going to make it. And you need, because really, I tell everybody that the blog and the book were reminders for me. They were reminders for me to slow down, to meditate, to breathe, to take it, you know, to fill my cup so that I could be everything I needed to be for everybody else. The fact that it has resonated with other teachers is really kind of amazing and humbling to me. But again, I think that, you know, I realized I was tapping, it wasn't just me, I was tapping into something that a lot of teachers were feeling. And so the fact that maybe these books can help is just an amazing thing to me. But what I hope it will accomplish is that you'll find your own sanctuaries, you'll find your own path on how to navigate the stress that is inherent in teaching. It's right now, again, in 26 years, I've never seen it this intense in terms of the stress level. And I saw some of the greatest teachers I've ever seen melt down and burn out and leave the profession. I didn't want to do that. I think this is the most noble job on the face of the planet, and just the best people do it. And I wanted to keep doing it. And these were some strategies I used. And again, it's like, if they work, you know, it's the same thing I would tell my students, take what works and get rid of everything else, you know, but hopefully there'll be some strategies here that work for you to just help you calm down and relax and create some tranquility in your life so that you can serve others better.
So Dan, for those people who may be listening who haven't read the book, but I'm sure are going to leave right now and go buy it so that they can get all that insight, would you mind sharing what is your favorite strategy or favorite part of the book that you'd be willing to share here?
Gosh, I'm not saying this out of vanity, but so many, because all of these strategies are so helpful to me. But one that I think is super fun that I'll share with you, and it's from Sanctuaries. And I confess that I kind of made it up, but I think it's in everybody. And I call it pamper triggers. And right around 2016, the word trigger had a very negative connotation. You know, if somebody was triggered, that was a bad thing. And I thought, I thought I'm going to hijack that word and I'm going to make it positive, right? So what triggers you to feel pampered? For me, it's slippers. I love slippers. I feel comforted and soothed. And maybe a big fluffy bathrobe. That's another pamper trigger of mine. My family grew up eating hot buttered popcorn. So that's a pamper trigger of mine. So one fun thing. Yeah. So it's just fun to think like what makes me feel comforted and soothed. And then that's your pamper trigger. But then the second part is, how can I get there more often? Right? Because once you identify it, then you're like, I want to be there. I want to spend time there. And so kind of listing three or four pamper triggers, like reading is a pamper trigger for me, and writing in general, but writing the poetry, as Jeff said, those are my pamper triggers. I feel, you know, you get into that state that's called flow, right? Where the world mm-hmm. melts away and time just goes by and you look up and it's 3 hours later and you're like, wait, what just happened? So pamper triggers, I think, would be a really fun thing for people to think about.
That is, I love that. I love that you hijacked word and flipped it like that. That is super cool. I'm totally.
Jeff, what is your pamper trigger? What makes you feel fancy?
Well, it was funny. I'm over and I said I had a big old smile on my face because slippers. Like I'm the same way. Like I've got them on right now. Like, you know, when I'm with Ray, I have to like find other ways. No, I'm just joking. No, definitely. I think that like slippers, I'm thinking through them. I'm like, oh, what made, but like, and you said the popcorn. I'm like, same here. Cause my family used to always on Friday nights, we turn on TGIF and eat popcorn. And like, so I totally like, this is so cool. Like I'm thinking through my head, like what are all my pamper triggers?
Yeah. And we all have them.
Obviously just hearing.
Number
one.
That was smooth. But,
you guys stink.
All right. So, no, that was really cool. Yeah. I really appreciate you sharing that in there. And I hope if you're listening, if that's not enough of a reason to go get the book, I don't know what else to tell you at this point. We will have links to the book and the show notes over at teachbetter.com. So you'll be able to look right there and we'll get you.
If you're listening, though, for real, you need to share out your pamper trigger. So whether it's on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, you got to tag all of us.
Hashtag
tag Dan,
trigger.
Tag Jeff, and tag I.
I was going to say, can we hashtag?
Absolutely. No, that'd be so cool.
And then include hashtag Zen teacher is it hashtag?
You know, people do both. I can't figure out how to like consolidate that. So just both.
And then of course hashtag teach better. But share out your pamper trigger. Yeah. We want to hear it. That'd be awesome. I'm gonna be excited if I see something start popping up. Really, really cool. So I know one of Ray's is this next section where we throw six questions at you and you have 15 seconds or less to answer.
Now my stress is going up, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. Come on down. Think about your pamper
triggers. That's right.
Get yourself ready. Okay, slippers. But here, all right. You ready to roll?
I'm ready. Let's rock it.
All right. Here we go. What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Twitter for the PD and the overall vision, and increasingly Instagram. And again, Ray is going to be a super mentor and model for me to follow.
Love it. What's a book that you're reading right now?
I got a signed copy of Almost Everything by Anne Lamott for Christmas, and I'm reading that, and she's one of my favorite authors, so I'm just so stoked about that.
Awesome. And who do we need to follow on Twitter today?
Gosh, so many. I'm just going to blast this. Alicia Ray, Ruby Sneakers, Akilah Ellison, Jonathan Wenstrom, Quinn Rollins, John Harper, Julie Schmidt-Hassan, I hope I'm saying that okay, and Sarah Johnson. These are rock stars. And, you know, I'm sure everybody's following Dave Burgess, but of course Dave Burgess.
Of course, yes. And what's the best YouTube channel for educators, or are either YouTube channel or maybe a website or Instagram account? Or where do you go when you need that either inspiration, that motivation, or resources to help do your job?
Okay, well, I don't really do YouTube, so I'm not sure on that. But I would say one place that I read every time it comes out is Zen Habits by Leo Babauta, if I'm saying that right. And he has some great ideas on decluttering and minimalism and just simplifying things and lowering stress and that kind of thing, and just being very Zen. So I always learn from that.
Awesome. And what's one daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into?
I think every teacher needs some kind of self-care ritual. I recommend meditation. I recommend maybe something like yoga. A lot of people work out. I hear that's very important too, but I don't do it. But you know, some kind of self-care ritual. I talk, this is not 15 seconds, but I talk about how I like coffee in the morning, and with teachers, a lot of times it just gets super cold. You never get to it. But what I do is I fix it. I take that first sip. That first sip is for me. I tune into my senses. I get very present, and that first sip is mine. And so that's a self-care ritual I do, but I think a self-care ritual.
Love it. And what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Best piece of advice I've ever received is if it smells funny, don't eat it.
That's solid advice.
Yeah. I mean, how could you go wrong with that, right?
I love
that's
it.
That's the best advice I've ever gotten.
It's great.
That is so funny. Well, Dan, I know that especially from this conversation, our listeners are going to need to talk to you more. I've gotten so much out of this episode. This was such a fun recording. And our conversations especially cannot stop here, just like our listeners. So would you mind sharing out how they can connect with you?
Sure. I'm going to just go through the whole list here. I'm on Twitter at the Zen Teacher. Instagram is at Zen Teacher. So just like I was telling Jeff, the comes out of there on Instagram. My website is thezenteacher.com. And my blog is about 4 years old. So there's tons of self-care ideas and meditations and different things you can, you know, self-care stuff on there. So go there. I have a Facebook page, The Zen Teacher, plus a Facebook group that has about 900 teachers from all over the world. Just amazing. Just last night, I saw a teacher website share an article about how teachers are stressed out. There were like 300 comments, and I spent a long time going and responding to all these people saying, you're okay, you're good enough, it's okay, you're going to make it. And I had like 15 people join the Zen Teacher Facebook group after that. It was amazing. And again, you know, if you want to just hear my thoughts, the books are The Zen Teacher, Creating Focus, Simplicity, and Tranquility in the Classroom, and Sanctuary, Self-Care Secrets for Stressed Out Teachers. Oh, and if you go to my website, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's very Zen because it comes out whenever I get to it. But, you know, it's I would say, you know, once or twice a month for sure. It has tips and strategies. It has articles and resources about stress reduction, self-care, sometimes mini blogs that I call Zen Teacher Thoughts, you know, just things I'm thinking about that might help. So, you know, please, please, please reach out. I love hearing from people want to help.
Awesome. And, you know, you can find all the links, resources, everything we talked about in this episode over at teachbetter.com. And of course, we'll have all those really, really important links for connecting with Dan over there as well. Links to his books, links to the website, so you can get on that email list and everything else that he's talked about. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure that you're hitting that subscribe button so you don't miss any other episodes. And please, if you could, give us a rating and review We both really, really appreciate it. Dan, wow, what an awesome episode. And
thanks. Yeah, it was
just
fun.
I love your message and what you're trying to do, and I'm feeling a little more zen just having talked to you today. Got my slippers on, got my, my Pamper Trigger going there, but really appreciate your time and you having some fun with us. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. My honor to be here.
Awesome. And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.